Welcome to Upworth United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Debbie Weatherspoon. We continued our worship series around climate justice with a focus on trees, but not just trees, but how we relate to trees and the rest of nature in a way that we find our connection with Creator and creation. Our reflection continued through the First John epistle, and we sang songs and focused our connection with our faith and how we care for our environment. We hope that you have a blessed week in the beauty of this earth.
I am your mother. Do not neglect me. Children, protect me. I need your trust. My breath is your breath. My death is your death. Ashes to ashes, dust into dust. Nurture, do not destroy me. Love and enjoy me, savor my fruit. My good is your good, my food is your food. Water and flower, branches and roots. I am your lodging. Do not abuse me. Tenderly use me, soothing my scars. My health is your health. My wealth is your wealth. Shining with promise, set among stars. God is our maker. Do not deny God. Defy God, threaten this place. Life is to cherish, care what we perish. I am your mother. Tears on my face.
Thank you. Today, the scripture reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is God's commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. God bless the reading of this word.
The trees are coming into leaf, like something almost being said. The recent buds relax and spread. Their greenness is a kind of grief. Is it that they are born again and we grow old? No, they die too. Their yearly trick of looking new is written down in rings of grain. Yet still the unrustling castles thresh in full-grown thickness every May. Last year is dead, they seem to say. Begin afresh, afresh, afresh. This is a poem in praise of trees by Philip Larkin. You probably have heard it. Every spring, the new leaves tell us that it's time to begin afresh, afresh, afresh. Considering climate devastation, we have to wonder about trees. I heard on the news that Sonoma County's tree protection ordinance expanded. This month, supervisors approved preserving more of the county's trees to combat climate change. Given that woodlands pull carbon from the atmosphere, the ordinance protects more species, more native species, lowers the size threshold of protected trees to support forest health, and exempts removals when needed for public safety, defensible space, and basic property maintenance. They also passed a second ordinance to protect oak woodlands, a sensitive and valued natural resource. And they had to update it even more to protect 31 tree species with trunks 6 inches in diameter or greater. It is good to protect our trees. And speaking of trees, I'm curious, are any of you familiar with mass timber? I wasn't. I just saw, again, another news story. And I did a little research, and I learned this. Faced with climate change and the need for low-carbon solutions, mass timber is opening new design possibilities, from long-spanning roof structures to tall timber towers. And I learned this from a story that was done in Portland, Oregon, that they have a new airport design, a design with 9 acres of wood across the ceiling, a $2 billion project. And it's all possible because of mass timber. You can look up on the roof and identify where each piece came from, said the director of this project. It's a system they call track and trace. It's the first time it's been done, he said, and the people behind it think it's something we'll see in the future regarding wood and the increasing use of wood. And of course, there are some critics that say too many mass timber projects today are a form of greenwashing, often relying on irresponsible harvesting methods. Well, the news story went on from there, from one perspective of the airport to going out into about 90 minutes outside of Portland to talk to the executive director of the Oregon Wild. The timber from this site, where they were reporting from, was used for a project in Washington State that was billed as climate friendly. But this executive director says you can't really call clear cutting, especially at this scale, climate friendly. And so the reporter asked him, "Do you think skyscrapers made of mass timber is a good idea?" And he answered, "Can a big mass timber building be built and have it be green? Yes. But right now, mostly mass timber is being used as a way to greenwash existing bad practices." Greenwashing, if you're not familiar, is a process of conveying a false impression or misleading information about how a company's products are environmentally sound. Greenwashing involves making an unsubstantiated claim to deceive consumers into believing that a company's products are environmentally friendly or have a greater positive environmental impact than they do. So back at the airport, the reporter said to the company man, "Critics of mass timber say it's greenwashing." And the answer, "Well, I wouldn't say it's greenwashing at all. American forests are producing more timber than we're consuming. Natural part of forest growth is to have some devastation. Landslides, wildfires, things happen where the forest regenerates and grows." Well, the reporter responds, "But this isn't natural. It's human-made. It's clear-cutting." Answer back, "Absolutely. I'm not a proponent of saying, yes, go clear-cut, subscribing to sustainable forestry practices that are understood and known as the way to do it. Those are in alignment with long-term forest health." And the question is, can you ensure that the timber used here in this mass timber is responsibly harvested? Oh, yes, without a doubt. And then the reporter added, "Well, the airport admits that it did get some of their wood from smaller clear cuts, which many forestry experts say are currently unavoidable, but there are ways to mitigate the harm." The ways that they do that you may know, is allowing longer growth of trees, making smaller cuts, and leaving a larger percentage of the trees untouched, which the airport says they did. As new, beautiful mass timber structures push higher every day, builders are being pushed to source them the right way. Well, it can get kind of confusing, can it? I mean, there's so many different perspectives. We want to do the right thing. We want to understand what's happening. We think we have good information, and then we find out maybe it's greenwashing. What are people of faith and people of conscience to do? Well, we know we need trees. Yes? Yes. All those in favor of trees? Okay. And trees are often considered valuable because they produce oxygen during photosynthesis. Apparently, most oxygen in the atmosphere is produced by phytoplankton in the ocean. Okay, I had to look that up. Forgot that in theology school. They didn't teach that. So without trees, we may have enough oxygen to survive because of that. But the bigger problem of not having trees is that we need trees to capture and store carbon. And without trees, climate change will happen much faster and put people in danger. And trees are also needed to remove other pollutants from the air. They're an important part of the water cycle and provide food and building materials and animal habitat. So the deep question of this series has been, so how will we live? 1 John 3:18, "Let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action." Verses 23 and 24, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we will know that he abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us. One of the content creators for this series, Christina Sinks, friend of ours, writes, "If the Spirit is a creative force, perhaps we are called to make some creative shift in our lives or work, to live out Christ-like love truly." Now, not everyone can or should be a radical activist and risk injury or arrest for the sake of loving creation or one's neighbor. But this scripture and the prophecy revealed to us ask us to deeply consider what we are called to do based on what has been revealed to us. If you know better, do better. Yeah. If we understand the intensity of the risk of climate change, we must be open to a certain call to move into radical action for the love of creation and the love of God, who abides in all creation. And she said, "If they'll know we are Christians by our love, how then shall we live? How will we bear fruit in the face of climate devastation if we are faithful Christians? And how will we heed the call of God to love all creation?" There are many ways each of you are lovers of creation. I know this to be true. And I wonder if this series has helped you to make a connection between your faith and your engagement with climate justice. All over the world, people have deep spiritual relationships with Mother Earth, Pachamama. And we, as followers of Christ, are also called into a deep relationship with our Creator and creation, a humility that is as close as our breath, the breath of God. We are invited to live out with love and joy the life that we have found in Christ. Putting our faith and our love into action, we, as 1 John suggests, do not only an act of charity, but an act of justice. It is an act of our duty, our obligation. It's a way of living. It's just the way that we live. I mean, if you are trying to just share your faith with someone, hopefully it's just how and the way you live. We live with that love and with that joy that we find as we abide in Christ. This is our truth. This is our hope. And so while the word is devastating around the climate, we have ways of moving toward healing and wholeness in the ways that we work together out of that joy and that love. Amen.